You have questions, we have answers. This is Jane Muller.
And this is Ken Muller. Welcome to our show. This week, Jane, we're going to continue with the landlord-tenant process, and we have a lot of questions from listeners about a lot of the stuff we covered the last few weeks. So we're going to try to get as many of the questions answered as we can. Just to recap, the last show we spoke about the security deposit, mm-hmm. about the pet deposit, about
which is no pet deposit
about the home warranty how that can be used. A lot of times landlords require it, and with the competitive market, how oftentimes tenants are volunteering it. We covered all that stuff, as well as
some repairs and the final walkthrough process in general.
Yeah. So we got some feedback from the listeners on some of the questions that they'd like to cover. One of them was window guards. We really haven't discussed much about window guards. So the common question we got was when in New Jersey are window guards required?
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to take a shot at it, or you want me to answer that?
Sure. I mean, absolutely. The window guard in New Jersey, the landlord must provide a window guard when the tenant make a written request. Also, this has to be on the second floor or upper level. If it's a ground floor, from the window to the ground has to be more than 6 feet. You're testing right now, and also the children has to be 10 years younger.
10 or younger.
10 or
right.
younger, so right. the landlord, the tenant must put in the written request, because I did have a case when we rented out and at the in the final walkthrough, and the tenant was shocked and said, "Hey, where's my window guard?" I said, "Well, you have to make a formal request here." She's from out of state. She thought automatically was included. I said, "No, if you want it, and you have to put in writing, I can help you with the process." And later she thought it was free, so she thought it was included in the rent. When I explained to her, I think that was like 12, 13 years ago. That time was $15 or something, $10,
right. $15. I believe now it's $20, yeah. And that's the, I'm sorry. The,
each window.
We should clarify, right? The question, I guess a follow-up question to that is, who pays for the window guards? And
yes.
In New Jersey, basically the tenant, again, has to request it in writing, and the landlord is responsible for doing it, but the landlord can get can request that the tenant pay the landlord $20 per each window in reimbursement. So regardless of the cost of the window guard, the tenant mm-hmm. has to contribute $20 per window.
Per window. Right. It's not in total. It's a per a window.
Right.
So,
and the other little nuance to this whole thing is, let's say you're in an association that has common areas. Well, the same rules apply to the association. If there's children that are frequently walk in those common areas, the association can be required to install window guards, you know, for the safety of the children.
Yeah. I mean, giving our 12, 13 years experience, and I have not received any requests so far, but I do have a lot of tenant and agents asking, you know, about the information. Once again, we just here share what we know, and it may not be 100% accurate. I would recommend the listener to do their own research, speak to the attorney, and find their, you know, the most update the requirement, because the rules, the government rules and regulations change from time to time.
Absolutely.
So this is just share our experience and view. But so far, all these years, I have not received any request for the landlord to I think, sorry.
I think we had a few.
Yeah, we had. I'm sorry. And earlier we had a few.
Yeah. At least mm-hmm. in our experience, it's not a very common request, but it does happen. It does occur from time to time. So,
but the tenant has the right to make the request.
That's
the point. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Another question while we're on the windows is a requirement for the landlord, for the unit to have screens. And that in New Jersey, there is a screen requirement that basically all the windows are supposed to have screens, because it's, if you have a window, it's intended to be open and closed. And mm-hmm. if you're going to open the window, you want the space to be usable and to be free of insects. So that's kind of the interpretation based on my research, that all the windows must be equipped with screens, just like the windows are expected to open and close. So if they're not opening and closing, then the tenant has a valid...
And open and closing, I think, is more important because that's a safety issue, right? God forbid anything happened, you may need that access, egress access to it. So open and close, 100%, that would be the safety issue as well as usage. And this is, to be honest, this is the first time I heard, you know, from you, as a landlord, they must provide the screen. I do have sometimes the tenant ask landlord provided. I have to say most of our client, the landlord, are very reasonable. You know, I mean, I always say to my client, what you want, you know, what happened, what do you want people to do for you? You should do for the others, right? I mean, you don't want your children and going to college and rent the house and the landlord mistreats them. So the start, we have to do the right thing. Whatever we can do, you know, we will help out.
Right. Yeah. And I guess while we're on the topic of windows, let's talk about air conditioning. And basically another question we had was, are landlords required to provide air conditioning? Well, I guess there's two ways to answer that. If there is an air conditioning system in the unit, it's expected, I guess, if you're paying the rent, that the air conditioner is going to be working. If you're dealing with an older unit that was not equipped with air conditioning, nor does it have window units, then the answer is, unfortunately, no. Air conditioning is not considered a vital source, such as heating. So if the unit is an old unit and never had air conditioning, it's not a requirement that the landlord legally provide air conditioning.
Yeah. Furthermore, on that, the air conditioning repair, right? It did happen to me a few years ago. 100 degrees out there, the air conditioning stopped working. You can imagine, you know, how that uncomfortable the little, you know, space would be. So the tenant was very upset and demanding the landlord do something. Otherwise, they're going to report. I mean, first of all, the landlord is doing their best. You know, they are not the HVAC specialist. We already called the emergency, but because it was a shortage, you know, there was 100 degrees out there, they were just busy. They were just late. They didn't, you know, came until the second day, I think, or third day. So that was created a lot of issues. And I can't remember exactly details what happened, but I believe the tenant did call, try to report, but didn't get anywhere, basically. So I personally didn't receive the call from anyone, and I don't think landlord did either. So at the end, we fixed it. But the point is, the landlord did all they can. You know, they had me on the ground, keep calling the company, make sure they are waiting hours and hours to see. So we did our best for it. But as far as the air conditioning, it is not really vital. I know it is vital in the summer, but it's not the least.
But you think about it, even in the 70s, a lot of the cars didn't have air conditioning. And I'm sure my parents, your parents, the grandparents, they didn't. People were, you know, and if you worked in Manhattan in the 50s and 60s, you were lucky if you had air conditioning. But now it is considered vital in terms of the comfort level. But unfortunately, in the law, it's not a requirement. Even the schools, a lot of the schools are still not equipped fully with air conditioning. Even in East Brunswick, they're not. So,
Ken, you forgot. Yeah. I come from China.
So air conditioning would be not a vitality, but it'd be a luxury. That's a different story.
And when I was a little, right, I remembered when I was a little. My father went on business trip. I begged him to buy me a fan. You know, I'm talking about paper fan here, and he managed to surprise me and give me an electric little fan. Oh my God, I was such a happy child, you know. I told all my friend, and I had a lot of people, the friend came to our house to see my little fan. That time I was so popular, a little toy there. That's truly, you know, when we're little, I don't know how, I couldn't imagine how we did it, you know, without you know, the fan or air condition nighttime. It's very hot, but I guess we went through it.
So. Yeah, now it's considered almost an impossibility for sleeping if you don't have air conditioning. At least it makes it difficult. But it's all you get used to it and you get acclimated to something, and so you kind of expect that. But
absolutely, when we are with this topic, right? The air conditioning is not essential, but the stove and the heat is. And it happened to one of our clients many years ago, and the heat was not working. At the end, the landlord, obviously we called the heating company immediately, the landlord dropped the little heater and the blanket and everything. So we were, you know, really trying to get it resolved. The
right.
heat. And another one was the stove is the essential as well. And I remember that there was one tenant said the oven doesn't work. And the landlord was on a cruise and couldn't get a phone call. I'm talking about many, mm-hmm. like 8-10 years ago. That time is like very hard to get a signal and a phone call on the cruise line. So they called us. We have to really deal with it and get them the repair and the replacement for the stove. That's definitely essential.
Right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of repairs, basically the landlord has to be given a reasonable amount of time to do the repairs. And what's reasonable, it all depends on the facts and the circumstances. But the tenant cannot just initiate the repair on themselves under the general law. There has to be, you
yes.
know, unless the landlord gives them the authorization, but the landlord should be given the first opportunity. And then if a reasonable period of time has passed and the landlord has not acted, then of course the tenant could either, you know, pay for the repairs and deduct the rent.
That's really depends on the arrangement. I would say always put in writing. Okay. Not only just call, just text or email the landlord. And I would also say copy the agent. So in that case, I mean, some agent after the move-in and that's it, they just their fee, half months or month's fee, just find the tenant finder. But for us, we do heavily get involved to help make sure the process is going to be smooth.
Absolutely.
For both parties.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Why don't we take a short break and we'll be right back after these messages.
A state-of-the-art building, approximately 3,000 square feet with a backup generator and plenty of parking, is available for lease. Located on the main thoroughfare in Hamilton Township, the building is zoned highway commercial and is suitable for retail, medical, office, education, and much more. To find out more and see if it fits your business and your needs, contact Ken at 908-337-9448. That's Ken at 908-337-9448. A two-story building, approximately 5,100 square feet with private offices and open spaces located in prime downtown New Brunswick, is available for lease. Yes, come on down and take a look. The building is zoned community commercial and has many permitted uses, including office, art gallery, theater, and music studio. To learn more about this property and more, contact Ken at 908-337-9448. That's Ken at 908-337-9448. Attention to developers and contractors. Over 3 acres of land located at the heart of East Brunswick is up for sale. Great location and lots of potential. For further details, please contact Ken at 908-337-9448. You are listening to All About Real Estate with Ken and Jane Muller on 93.5 FM, 1450 AM, Fox Sports, New Jersey. Now let's get back to the show.
Okay, welcome back. Jane's. Following up on that topic now with the landlords, it's very important, I think, as any landlord, especially if you have multiple properties, that whenever you're going to be away, whether it be on vacation, out of the country, on a cruise, you have to let the tenant know who to contact in the event of an emergency. You always should have an emergency backup, whether it be your agent, your brother, your sister, family member, or some. You have to have someone or some management company to look after the property, because God only knows that the time you're away on that 2-week cruise, you're down in the Caribbean, then the tenant has no heat. Someone has to be authorized to act on behalf of the landlord to make a decision on something like that if it's a major repair.
Yeah, absolutely. And almost our client, before they leave on vacation, they always send an email to the tenant, copy to us and say, I'm going to be away. And here's, Jane and Ken. And any problem, just call them. So once again, just communication is very, very important.
Right. And sure enough, the phone call will come in on a Saturday night or at 7,
How about
8 o'clock
10 o'clock?
At 10 o'clock at night, there was, can you check something out at the house? There's no heat or there's a leak, and you know, it's always on a weekend, weeknight, or a holiday, or something.
Yeah,
that
things
happens.
Things happen, right? But I guess the sooner the actions taken, the less impact. A lot of time, right? It's not what happened, Ken. It's after what happened, the things wasn't done properly, or the perceived wasn't done properly, and create a lot of emotion. You know, a lot of things is done. I had a long time there was the tenant. They had the one room has a smell from time to time. We don't know what it is. Just could not figure it out. So landlord went there. It doesn't smell. And they just really, you know, don't know what happened. Now, I never had that before. So I told the tenant, I said, next time when there's smell, call me. I'll be here immediately. So one day they call me, Jane, come. This today is really bad. It depends. Sometimes good. You don't even smell when landlord went a few times. So when I went there, opened the door, I almost passed out. Wow. There was smell. I said, what's that? So I thought, sounds like a sewer, but they're in a condo, townhouses. It's impossible. So immediately, obviously I called the list, so whoever can get there first. But when we're waiting for the contractor, the tenant was very unhappy. They said landlord did nothing for them. They delayed. Mm-hmm. I said to them, to be fair, the landlord came a few times. They truly couldn't smell anything, right? But today, I smell. I immediately take action on behalf of the landlord because I tried to text landlord. They were in meeting. I said, okay, I'm going to call. They said, yes, please. So when the contractor came, they found out there was the hair trapped in the shower. Somehow created that problem. So the contractor did whatever they had to do, fixed it, and it was never happened again. But at the end, there was tenants, fault. So they had to pay the cost, for that such repair. So a lot of time, once again, it's not really what happened. It's the perception and the whole emotional. They felt the landlord not good, being a good landlord, never take care of them. The landlord said, well, I take care. There was nothing. The tenant just give us trouble. And I'm, as an agent, the third party go there to understand both party, where they from, and it resolved it. Very simple. Just the guy just fixed it, take an hour, everything's done. So never happened again. So, they had to use a trapper. After that, I always remind the buyer, the tenant agent say, please make sure, they use a trapper.
Right,
trap
to catch the hair.
Yeah, that's otherwise they're going to block reach. They're going to have a lot of issues, potential issues, yes.
Right, and usually in leases, oftentimes in the leases, the landlord will put a clause in that the tenant is responsible for clogs and piping.
If caused by the usage,
unless it's proven that it's caused by roots or some other external circumstance, because they want to encourage the tenant to maintain good housekeeping practices and put hair traps and things in, so the hairs don't continually go down the drain, because over time they will cause sinks and showers to clog and then back up.
Sure. We had another issue. Another episode was the tenant always feel some smell in the house, in the house. So without get the landlord approval, they had people come clean the duct. After that, they want a refund the refund the cost to do that. And then there was a little bit, conflict there. My advice to the landlord for this instance, I said, well, sure, you don't have to pay for this, right? But, it's not really worth it to create a problem. So why don't we just let the tenant know in the future, if anything need to be done, they have to give you a notice, which we previously already explained it, right? But that time, the tenant just feels something wrong and they just cautious. Obviously, health, now it's COVID, they're worried about. So they get someone to clean. So next time, just have to communicate.
Right. A lot of
before action was taken.
Right. A lot of times the tenants are go above and beyond what they're required to do. We've had situations, I think even when Adam Elias was on, he mentioned he had a tenant that actually wanted to pay to power wash one of the units. So he was so blown away by that he said, hey, you can't, I'm going to pay for that since you offering to do it just made him.
Well, we had, remember a few years ago, there was a, we rent out, the landlord moved to out of state because job transfer. We rent out their, you know, the big house, the single family. And the tenant asked whether they can do landscaping. I said, landscaping? They said, yes. They want to do the landscaping. They they want to hire a professional. They did. After the tenants stay there 2 years, every time I drive past that neighborhood, I can't believe how beautiful work they did.
Right. So that's the case where yes. which you hear not, which is not that uncommon, where the tenant actually makes the place look better than it did when the landlord lived there.
Yeah.
Or
sometimes.
To, or
yeah.
prior to them taking over, which is a great win-win for both the landlord and the tenant.
I think it's this landlord and tenant, right? I always remind the landlord, by having a tenant, it's really like, you know, like a marriage kind of, you know, you marry that person for the period of the lease. You got to communicate. You got to be good to each other. You got to work together. That's the relationship. It's both way. Right? It's never can be one side story. I mean, we had so many clients I know, the tenant and the landlord become lifelong friends.
Yeah, which is great.
You know, that's just really, you know, very good. And sometimes the landlord said, how do I know this tenant gonna take care of my property? I always say, when you came to here, when you, during your lifetime, did you ever rent? The answer is no. I said, well, that's understand your concern. If the answer is yes, I said, how were you as a tenant, right? Mm-hmm. If you're a good tenant like me, I mean, I would say I'm a very good tenant. Always pay on time in front and always responsible. Never had any issue with anyone. This landlord always disappointed when I say I have to move on with my life, right? So that's the people would be, you know, like you, just like you go anywhere, you ask what the people like, right? Who you are, and there's people like you in the world. So, you know, obviously I'm not discounted. Sometimes do have issues, right? But if we do our homework right, which is we covered the last show, how you know, check the tenant, check the reference. If that happens, so the chance would be very minimal to have an issue down the track.
Absolutely, yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. So let's go on and let's cover some more of these questions and try to get through as many as we can in the remainder of this show. On late fees, you know, in the New Jersey realtor lease, there's a fill in the blank that in New Jersey, you have the rent is typically due, let's say, the first of the month. There's a 5-day grace period, meaning that the tenant has 5 days to pay the rent and they can't be charged any late fee as long as the rent arrives within 5 days from the due date. After the 5 days has expired, the landlord can charge a late fee, and if in the realtor lease, there's a blank provision that says, you know, every day if the rent is not paid within the grace period, the late fee is blank, and you might put in a amount per day, you might put in a lump sum. From what I understand in New Jersey, there's nothing specified on what you can charge for the late fee. However, it's considered if it's more than 5% of the monthly rent, that's considered kind of like the cap. Otherwise, it becomes unreasonable. So if you put in the lease, the late fee is $100 a day. If you're in day six, if you know, the court would probably look at that and say, nah, we're not gonna allow that. That's unconscionable. That's unreasonable. So that's kind of the situation with late fees.
But I have a little bit of different point of view, Ken. Yeah. I understand generally there's no rules about guidelines about 5%, right? My understanding on that 5% is in total, say for example, you didn't pay the rent until 10th or 15th, right? But if you didn't pay the rent just for 6 days, for example, in your example is 600, but if you didn't pay the rent for 15 days, and then the total late fee you cannot charge is more than 5%. That's my understanding. I could be wrong here, but
the total,
you know, if you only late for 6 days, say 5 days, you don't, in New Jersey, it's a grace period. But if you pay the 6 days, my understanding is you not only pay 1 day late fee, you pay 6 days because you late 6 days, even though 5 days is grace period. But I could be wrong here. That's always, you know.
No, I think in that case, I think if let's say you have a 5-day grace period, so as long as the rent arrives within those 5 days.
Yeah, but how about you put paid on the seventh day? So how many days?
Really, I think it's really 2 days late.
But I thought it's 7 days.
But then we're getting into the technicality basically of how you're doing the math equation for the, if you assuming you have a unit, if you have a penalty per day. But
I feel, I mean, once again, the audience out there, if you know the answer, please let us know.
that's all right. I'll have to research. I didn't really come prepared to answer that question, so I'm not sure because we never, but that's, yeah, I understand what you're saying, and I'm not.
100%. I always believe that's, you know, if you're late for 5 days, that's okay, just a warning. If you're late for 6 days, you have to pay 6 days late fee. If you're late for 7 days, you have to pay 7 days late fee. But if you wait late for a whole month, you count just every day the late fee. Your maximum is a 5% of total monthly. But I could be wrong here. I mean, once again, I'm not trying to practice law here. I'm a real estate agent.
Yeah. So I don't know. I never had that.
We never had that happen.
I never practiced landlord-tenant law, and I'd have to research that.
We never really had that. You know, I mean, really, yeah, the situation like that. But just start a conversation.
It's really open to the judge, too. I think the court, how they're going to look at it, too. The judge would likely look. I think in New Jersey, they typically give the tenant the benefit of the doubt, and you're given a five-day period. So if the rent is paid within those 5 days, it counts as being paid on time. So I don't think you can – I don't think the court's going to go back and say if you pay on day six – and then say, oh, you're penalized for 5 days. They'll probably go from day five as a starting point for when it's late after that point.
Well,
You
could be right. I mean, but that's my understanding. Yeah. But, you know, just on that, you know, on point. So if anybody know, please let us know too.
Yeah, shoot us an email to our All About Real Estate with Ken and Jane.
Yes, let us know.
Let us know, so or put a comment on our Facebook page. That would be really
helpful.
And I'll do some research in the next few weeks and try to get an answer for the audience on that topic.
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay. We are out of time again, unfortunately, so we're going to have to wrap this up. Hope everybody enjoys the rest of the weekend, and we'll see you next week.
Have a good weekend. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to All About Real Estate with Ken and Jane Muller, airing every Sunday at 10 a.m. on 93.5 FM, 1450 AM, Fox Sports, New Jersey. For feedback and suggestions for future topics, go to their Facebook page, All About Real Estate with Ken and Jane, or email them at realestatewithkenandjane@gmail.com or call 732-898-2266.